Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I am your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and I really, really am just opening my arms to all of you that have been listening. Thank you so much for your emails. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your suggestions, which I am not interested in. No, just kidding. But Reality Spirituality is my baby. Reality Spirituality is a term that I use to describe our everyday life experiences and actually dissect our everyday life experiences down to the least common denominator to figure out, to find out, to discover why we're not as happy as we could be, as happy as we can be, as happy as we should be, as happy as we are meant to be. My story is simple. When I was younger, I wished for two things: to live to my potential and to be happy. My priority is happiness, is inner contentment. I want to be able to get through this life with all different types of things flying at me, suggestions, events, circumstances, behaviors, other people, family, all of this crap that comes at me throughout my life. And I want to be like a Teflon frying pan. Do you know how nothing sticks to Teflon? It just slides and glides right off. That is my ultimate goal. That is what I am passionate about. Whatever happens in my life, I just want it to just bounce right off. And I'm talking about the most challenging events. The challenging events like losing a job, not having a job, not having enough money, being disinherited by the only mother you know, losing a boyfriend, death, my father's death. I want to be able to just float through this life, not float, I'm going to use the word flow through this life with a smile on my face and a warm heart. Reality spirituality is not a religion. It's a guideline to living connected with the most powerful energy source in the universe. Some people call it God. Some people call it the universe. It is the single most powerful energy in the world. And let me say something. You know it. You can feel it. You all have felt it at different times in your life. Times when you can just, you sit and you are in awe of being alive, of experiencing life, of feeling a beautiful moment, of embracing a time where you just, you're almost paralyzed by the grandeur of the moment. And I have requested, and I am determined to live in that place 24/7, all of the time. And let me tell you something, that is not impossible. It's not easy, but it's not impossible. It's like everything else. It's like every other skill that we as human beings can develop. The best basketball players in the world, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, the best basketball players, they had to develop their skill. And there is a skill, and there is a way to develop living in that moment, if I can use the E word, living in that moment of ecstasy, 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week. Do you think that that can be, do you think that that can be accomplished? That's either a yes or a no. Because whatever your answer is, if you answered no, then guess what? You're right. But if you've answered yes, guess what? You're right too. You can live in that moment. In fact, close your eyes and think about one of the happiest moments of your life right now. Think about it. Of course, there's several. And what if I told you that you could feel like that all of the time? Would you believe me? Would you want to feel like that all of the time? I do. I can't think of any other way to feel. That's all I want. Because in my opinion, when you have and are able to hold on to and able to connect to that feeling, that is the ultimate. That is the ultimate purpose in my life. Now, how the hell did I get off on that tangent? I'm just so excited about today's show. Today's show is going to be something very personal. It's something very personal to me. I'm smiling as I think about it because it's about being a parent. Some of you out there are not parents, but one thing I do know is you were raised by parents, a mother or a father or a parent figure. And that parent figure, that parent, has such a huge responsibility. It is the biggest responsibility, I think, on the planet, is embracing and raising and loving a child since its conception, continuing to the birth, continuing through the toddler stages, through the high school stages, from the college, that is a privilege. Raising a child, taking care of a child is a privilege. Before I go on, I want to invite you to call in with your comments, questions, share your stories. The number here is 646. Oops, forgot the area code. The area code is 646. The number is 564-9619. That's 646-564-9619. Being a mother, having that responsibility, is the reason why I am so passionate and determined and committed and relentless in my pursuit of being an example. I realize that my words don't teach, but my example is priceless. I have to share with you that I never, ever, ever wanted children. Never! And in fact, when I met my husband-to-be, that was right on the table. I don't want to have any kids. No, thank you. No, thank you. And as wonderful and as sweet and as loving as he was, do you know what this young man said, my first and only husband said? I'm marrying you. I'm not marrying you to have children. I'm marrying you. So here I am thinking he's with the program. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years after the marriage, 4.5 years after the marriage, guess what happened? I'm pregnant. And I remember going to the gynecologist and saying, oh, how did this happen? 4.5 years of doing the same birth control, which my birth control was the Rhythm Method. I said 4.5 years, and I never got pregnant. Why? What happened? And I remember this. And my gynecologist looked at me and he says, "Do you know what they call people that use the Rhythm Method?" No. Parents. So for whatever reason, no, the universe wanted me to be a parent. But I went through that whole pregnancy poking my lips out because I was not happy about it. I was not happy about it. I had a busy schedule. I exercised, I taught classes, I had a great figure. No way. I don't need to slow down for a child, a baby, that I'm going to have to take care of. And I was not interested. That's just an insight of the beginning of me being a parent. And even when my son was born, on the day he was born, close your ears, Nathan, I wasn't interested. Lucky for me, the universe gave me about 4 months. 4 months to adjust, 4 months to get used to taking care of someone else before I took care of myself. And what happened in those 4 months, in fact, at the fourth month, and I will never forget where I was in front of my mother-in-law's home, and she was holding my son. And she was talking to him and playing with him and just goochie, 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 goo on his chin. I don't remember what she was doing. But I remember what I saw. He smiled. And I was shocked. I was shocked because I didn't do that Gucci, 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 Gucci thing. I didn't do it. I wasn't interested. And I remember thinking, wow, he can smile? He can give back? He can communicate? See, my mother never taught me any of that because She didn't raise me with the Gucci, 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 Gucci. She didn't do that, and I didn't know any better. I'm not making an excuse. I'm just telling you what is and what was. But as soon as I saw my son smiling, I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be fun. This is cool. Well, he's a little person. He's not just a ball and chain. And that brings me to the topic of today's show. What are we teaching? What are our children learning from our example? I want to say that you can call in with any of your parental stories. The number here is 646-564-9619. Area code 646-564-9619. And we're going to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, I am going to tell you what I've learned and how to and what to teach a child. You're listening to Reality Spirituality. This is Rebecca Norrington. Talk to you right after the break.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Reality
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get down.
Hey everyone, thank you and welcome back. Oh, thank you. Welcome back to Reality Spirituality. I am your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington. And before the break, we were talking about raising children, raising a child. And very briefly, I was brought up in a home where children had one job, had one responsibility, and that was to sit there and be quiet and do everything that your parents told you to do. In fact, not do everything that your parents told you to do. You had to. Otherwise, guess what? I was spanked as a child. I can remember almost every one of them. My father would give the command, go lay down on your bed. That was always, I'm just getting freaked out about it because that was always the first sentence. Go lay down on your bed. And you would have to lay on your bed, face down, and my father would roll up a belt and spank me to the point of having welts and bruises on my bottom and legs. And if you put your hands behind you, they would get hit also. Now, I'm not blaming my father for any of that, because quite frankly, he didn't know any better. That's what was done to him. But I'm here to plead with you. You do not have to hit a child. And quite frankly, the only reason why we do hit children is because we can get away with it, especially in when I was growing up. You can't get away with that shit nowadays, but especially when I was growing up, and when my father was growing up, it's okay. What is it? Spare the rod, spoil a child. Well, I believe that that experience, hitting a child or hitting anything to cause pain, broke my spirit. It broke my spirit. Meaning, it was a form of surrendering and complying. Oh, I think it's just like slavery. The slave masters whipped the slaves for fear, to cause fear, to insist that they comply with whatever rules, whatever things that the slave master said. And basically, parents that spank and hit do so for the same reason. Now, they do it because they think that's the only way to discipline a child. But it's not. And in fact, I contend that when you hit a child, someone that just looks up to you and loves you and thinks the world of you and depends on you and is it needs you, and now you're hurting them. You're physically hurting them. How can you hurt someone and say that you, I mean, physically hurt someone, a child? How can you physically hurt a child and also say that you love them. I use this example because I've had countless arguments with people that have spanked their children. And I always say the same thing. I say, you make mistakes throughout your lifetime. You make mistakes throughout your day. You make mistakes this week. You've made plenty of mistakes. I don't know what it is, but you're not walking around here mistakeless. What if somebody, an adult, just start hitting you? What if that happened every time you made a mistake, or every time you didn't listen, or every time you ran a red light, or every time you were speeding, or whatever time you did something that you know? And when I say what is right, I mean, listen, what you create is what you're going to get back. What if every time you started an argument, somebody just came up and just beat the hell out of you, beat you to a pulp? You couldn't even conceive of that. So why in the hell are we hitting our children? A child, a defenseless child. Would you spank an adult because they misbehaved or lied or... And we hit our children because we can get away with it. Again, back to my father. He didn't know any other way. But when my son was born, I remember smacking him on his butt one time. Maybe more than once. No, it had to be more than once. It had to be more than once. But he was young. He was a youngster. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, it's always don't do, don't do. And if you do, you're going to get in trouble. And if you do, it's always a freaking threat. We're always threatening our children, threatening them. And I remember one time I went to smack him on his butt. And he was still a youngster. He still hadn't gone to school. And I remember the look in his eyes. He looked at me with such fear. And that was it. I never disciplined him physically ever again. Now, that's not the only way you can break a child's spirit, by physically hurting them and physically smacking them and disciplining them. In fact, the other way is just as, in my opinion, harmful to their spirit. I ride the bus every day back and forth to downtown Los Angeles, and it was Friday, a couple of days ago, and I saw this father and his son get on the bus. And the little boy, he wasn't older than three. He was so cute. Wasn't older than three, and the father was a young guy in his 20s, maybe late 20s. And they were sitting right across from me, so I was engaged in what was going on, because the little boy was so cute, and his father brought his lunch with him. His father picked up some, it was like a Der Wiener Schnitzel hot dog, and it was wrapped up in a bun, and father says, okay, here's the hot dog, you know, sit here and eat your hot dog while we're on the bus. And in the In the hot dog traveling from the bag to the little boy, well, there was ketchup smeared all over it. And so the little boy just started licking off the ketchup. Licking off the ketchup as if it were chocolate syrup. He loved the taste of ketchup. You could see it on his face. And he kept licking the ketchup and licking it, and he was just having the best time. And you know what the father said? Don't do that. Stop that. Eat it. But to this little boy's credit, I could see him and I could feel him. He wasn't broken by what his father, eat it like this, do it like this, don't lick the ketchup, eat like this, eat like the way I want you to eat. Can you imagine a three-year-old giving directions and telling a three-year-old how to freaking eat? And I watched because this little boy didn't like the bun. And so what he was doing is he was chewing on the hot dog and leaving the bun and chewing on the hot dog and leaving the bun and tearing the bun away with his hands. And guess what? His father didn't like that. Don't do that. Eat the whole thing. Just don't eat the bun. And I sat there and oh my goodness, Now, in the olden days, I would have said something to him. I said, hey, let the kid eat the way he wants to eat. But I was quiet, just observing. And this little boy just was happy in spite of the constant instructions that he got from his father. Case in point, relax with your children. Relax. Chillax. Is it really a problem that they don't want to eat the bun? Now, let me share a personal story. I raised my son the same way. Instruction after instruction after instruction after another instruction. And when my son was in sixth grade, seventh grade, it was in junior high. And my son was an excellent student. He took pride in his own grades. When I was growing up, I got this, you have to get an A. If you don't get an A, what's the problem? I mean, I was literally in trouble if I did not get all A's. And I was determined not to raise my son like that. So whatever grades he brought home, I was going to be okay. That's the truth. I was going to be okay. Well, I don't remember if the school called me, but my son is now in seventh grade, and he received a D on his report card. And what he attempted to do was sign the report card without showing it to me. And I don't remember how I found out. But I remember sitting in the kitchen and calling him and saying, what did you get in science class? What grades did you get? And basically, I cornered him. And he was reluctant to admit. He was afraid to admit. Reluctant. The word is afraid to admit that he got a D. And let me tell you, I still didn't get it. And a couple of days later, I spoke with my soulmate, who is a, he's a spiritual man. He's raising an only daughter, which is who is my goddaughter. And do you know what he told me? He said that the reason my son signed his own report card was my fault. The reason why he signed his own report card was my fault. Because that is the environment that I created. I created an environment that my son couldn't come to me because, number one, he'd know he'd be in trouble. Number two, I'd be pissed off. I'd have an attitude. I would do whatever I did. Angry. And so because I created that environment for my boy, it was my fault that he had to sign his own report card. And I have to say that was the beginning of my motivation to change my life. My son had to sneak and lie and hide because of the environment that I created. And that had to be addressed. It was all my fault. It was all my doing. It was what I created. I wanted my child to be, I wanted my son to be afraid of me, just like I was afraid of my father. And I was afraid of my mother telling my father. I made a vow to myself that this environment of fear and this environment of going behind my back and sneaking around, well, the reason why children do that is because they're afraid, and they're afraid of the reaction. And even more important, I taught my child how to lie, how to sneak, how to avoid my anger, my wrath. That was on me. So what did I have to do? What did I have to do to change? Well, this is what I had to do. I don't care what my son brings to me. What dilemma, what circumstance, what situation he is in. He can come to me if he chooses and talk to me about it. And I will promise him, I will promise, and that's with my heart out, I will not be angry. I will not be upset. I will not get frustrated. I will not be mad. That was huge in the rest of the way I raised my son. But I had to not only change my behavior, I had to undo what I had done. Oh, because I put the fear of God in this little person. Oh, I had to undo what I had done. And that's the hardest. One of the hardest. I want to share with you what my spiritual mate told me. He has a daughter. She just turned 13 on Friday. My goddaughter. And he has been creating an environment, because he learned from my mistakes, thanks a lot. He has been creating an environment of, I don't care what it is, sweetie, you can come to me. I got your back. You don't have to worry about me being pissed off at you. And on her 13th birthday, March the 9th, Daddy said, so what do you want for your birthday, sweetie? And do you know what this 13-year-old told her father? Do you want to know what she asked her father to let her do on her birthday? Can you guess? She said, she calls him Poppy. She says, Poppy, I want to ditch school. I want to ditch school on her birthday, on my birthday. See, she's in junior high now. She's around all these kids that ditch school, and she has seen joints and drugs, and the kids bring alcohol to school, and she's been exposed to all of this, and the kids ditching school. And do you know what my spirit soulmate said to her? He says, okay, let me show you how to do it. There's a right way and a wrong way. He says, first of all, you don't jump a fence. That's for dummies. He says, you go to your first class, first period, go to homeroom, and as soon as you check in with homeroom, you can check out, sweetie, because now you're accounted for in homeroom. And on March the 9th, Friday, that little girl walked out of school right after her homeroom class and met her daddy. And they had a day to celebrate. And you know what else he told her? He says, if you want to experience anything, drinking, beer, he said, you don't have to hide from me. He says, you can hide if you want to, but you don't have to hide from me. I'm here to, listen, it's not about he's here to put the joint in her mouth, but I'm here to, I am here with open arms. You don't have to hide. You don't have to lie. You don't have to do any of that. I am here. And so that's what I want to share with you. I want to thank you so much for listening to Reality Spirituality. I am your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and remember, your child and your child's spirit is precious, and it's your responsibility. Love them. I will see you tomorrow. Reality Spirituality, Rebecca Lynn Norrington.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM? time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Good now.
Get real.